Blog Talk Radio.
Welcome to Processing the Pain with yours truly, Coach D. I want to welcome you in the studio on tonight. Thank you for joining me. I am excited about tonight. I'm excited about the word that the Lord is going to bring forth on tonight using his humble vessel, me, completely dying to self that the Spirit of the Lord will rise up. I'm not sure what direction the Lord is going to take me in on tonight. I was awakened at 3 o'clock in the morning, and it's not unusual that I would wake up at that time in the morning, but this morning was a little different because I woke up and I was taken to Nahum. And most of us, I know, if everybody's like me, you know, Nahum, you're like, what is that? Well, that is one of the small prophets in the Old Testament, towards the end of the Old Testament. And I cannot say a small prophet. They called them minor prophets. He has a minor prophet. I believe, if I'm not mistaken, Hosea was one of those minor prophets. And so I was taken to that, and I was like, Lord, why are you taking me here? You know, I'm not sure why you're taking me here, but I went ahead to read Nahum chapter 1, and I'm going to be sharing that with you on tonight, but I think it's going to be very relevant. As I get deeper into the word, you'll understand why he took me there and why I'm taking you all there on tonight. Amen. So again, I want to welcome you in the studio on tonight. Thank you for tuning in to this episode of Processing the Pain. I'm going to ask my studio audience to bear with me on this evening. I'm going to bring exactly what's been given to me to you. And my prayer is that it is a word in due season for you. I don't know about you all. We have elections coming up, and we see a lot of things that's going on politically. We see a lot of things that's going on socially, economically, and it would bring great concern, I'm sure, for you as it is for me. As I look, you know, I try not to watch the news often. I really do. It's because it has a spirit of depression, a spirit of worry, anxiety, and concern that comes along with it. So I really try not to watch it. But it's hard for us not to know or not to see what's going on with the affairs of the world. We're looking at it on TV. As we go about our day-to-day, we're just seeing all these concerns. And if I am having a challenge, I'm not sure if you're having a challenge hearing me. I seem to be having a little technical difficulties on this evening. So if for any reason I am breaking up or you cannot hear me clearly, if you could just please dial 1 on your dial pad, and that'll let me know that we're having, I may have to switch out my microphone. So again, if for some reason I start dying out, then just dial 1 on your dial pad. Thank you for that. So we're very concerned with what's going on in our world, and we have it's natural to be concerned. And I think what the Lord was sharing with me is that it's so many, and I'm talking to kingdom citizens on tonight. I'm talking to born-again believers, those who have accepted Jesus Christ as their personal Lord and Savior. You are who I am speaking to on tonight. And I'm speaking to us on tonight as a body because we have somehow gave up our control. Our concern, which basic concern is not the issue, but when our concern begins to control us, our thoughts, our behavior, our actions, then there's an issue. There's a problem there. And the Lord sees, he wants you to know that he has not been sleeping on our current world affairs. He has not been sleeping on us. He wants us to know that he is very present and he is very aware of what is going on in the world around us. And he wants to encourage you on tonight. This word, I believe, is a word of encouragement to you to redefine who God is and why it is important for us not to allow the cares of this world to consume us, not to allow the cares of this world to control us. And I believe that what he's going to tell you on tonight is going to be words of encouragement, but I believe also that it's going to redirect your thought process. You're not going to be so controlled by what's going on in the world. And that's politically, again, socially, economically. I mean, we could be concerned. I could be concerned as a black woman, a mother of concerns. I could be concerned as a believer. I could be concerned at my political party. I could be concerned of who's sitting in the White House. I could be concerned of who's molesting, who's abusing, who's damaging. I have a lot that I could be concerned with. And if I'm not careful, again, those concerns will begin to control me. And the Lord is saying he's tired of kingdom citizens being controlled by the affairs of this world. We're not supposed to be all consumed with what's going on in this world. Because when you're a kingdom citizen, you're from a different place. You're only a visitor here. If you were to, if a U.S. citizen, and we're talking in the natural now, but if a U.S. citizen was to go to Africa, they can't go to Africa and dictate who's going to be the president or who's going to be the king or who's going to be the ruler or who's going to be the ambassador. They don't have that authority. That doesn't concern them. Yes, there may be some humanitarian concern of what may be going on, but it really doesn't concern you. As the old people say, it's none of your business. Who's going to be the president in Africa? You know, that doesn't concern you. You may share an interest out of curiosity. You may share interest for whatever reason, but you as a U.S. citizen can't go over and cast a vote, so to say, of what's going to go down in Africa. Amen. And so today I'm speaking to you from a spiritual standpoint. Yes, in the natural, I know we are U.S. citizens. I understand that. But we're U.S. citizens on a visa. Amen. We are here on a visa. We are kingdom citizens. And God wants to remind us that we are kingdom citizens. He wants to make sure that we are not being controlled by the things of this world. He went on to share with me that, again, this show on tonight is for spirit-filled believers. Again, you've accepted, you're born again, you've accepted Jesus Christ. He wants us to know that he is the Lord, our God, and there is no other. And then he took me to Nahum. And I'm going to read the chapter, and I'm going to ask you not to get bored. I'm going to ask you to stay with me. Stay conscious. Don't get bored. Don't get distracted. Don't hang up because you think, oh, it's nothing. I'm telling you, if you stay with me, you will get it. Stay with me, you will get it. It will be a word, a rhema word for you. Amen. So stay with me. I'm going to read. And I know when I read, that kind of gets a little mundane for some. But I'm asking you to wait for the gift, you know, delayed gratification. It's called discipline. It's delaying oneself gratification. We are in a microwave society right now. We want everything quick, quick, quick. We want to get rich quick. We want to everything quick. We want to get married quick. We want to get, you know, we want everything quick, everything instantaneously. And so we don't want to take the time. We don't want to have the patience to be still and really taste what's being said. You know, we pray, and the Bible says pray without ceasing. And we just continue to pray. But I want you to know that prayer is us talking to God, and there's nothing wrong with prayer. There's nothing wrong with petitioning God. But again, if we're not worshiping, if we're not being still in the presence of the Lord, we cannot hear what he's saying. We cannot get our answers. So tonight I'm going to ask you to be still in the presence of the Lord as he prepares or he brings this message for us. And again, no way am I said I'm the Lord. I'm saying I'm a willing vessel. And I believe what he shared with me is going to bless you. Amen. So we're going to go to Nahum. And if you have your Bibles, go to Nahum. And that's Nahum. He is a minor prophet, and he comes after me. For those of us, he is in the back of the Old Testament. And so many of us may not even heard of him. He's back there with Malachi and Zechariah, you know, those guys, Haggai. So I'm going to give you a moment just to get over there to him. because I want to begin to read, and I'm going to start reading at verse 2. Now, as I begin to read, you're going to hear that this is the vision that God gave the man of God, the prophet of God, in regards to Nineveh. And I'm going to say to you, we all have a Nineveh, or some Nineveh in our lives. The U.S. could be a Nineveh. Equality or the lack of could be our Nineveh. What is your Nineveh tonight? So as I'm reading this, I want you to begin to imagine as I'm reading, what is the Nineveh? What is that thing that's controlling you, that's got you so concerned that it's controlling you? Because God wants you to know that he is still God, and he is on the throne, and he's not sleeping. He sees everything that's going on. He sees everything that's going on, and we just got to trust the process. We have to trust him. Starting in verse 2, the Lord is a jealous and avenging God. The Lord takes a vengeance and is filled with wrath. The Lord takes vengeance on his foes and vents his wrath against his enemies. The Lord is slow to anger, but great in power. The Lord will not leave the guilty unpunished. His way is in the whirlwind and the storm, and clouds are the dust of his feet. He rebukes the sea and dries it up. He makes all the rivers run dry. Bashan and Carmel wither, and the blossoms of Lebanon fade. The mountains quake before him, and the hills melt away. The earth trembles at his presence, the world and all who live in it. Who can withstand his indignation? Who can endure his fierce anger? His wrath is poured out like fire. The rocks are shattered. The rocks are shattered before him. The Lord is good, a refuge in times of trouble. He cares for those who trust him. But with an overwhelming flood, he will make an end of Nineveh. He will pursue his foes into the realms of darkness. Whatever they plot against, the Lord will bring to an end. Trouble will not come a second time. They will be entangled among thorns and drunk from their wine. They will be consumed like dry rubble. From you, Nineveh, has one come forth who plots evil. I'm going to repeat that. From you, Nineveh, has one come forth who plots evil against the Lord and devises wicked plans. This is what the Lord says. Although they have allies and are numerous, they will be destroyed and pass away. Although I have afflicted you, Judea, I will afflict you no more. Now I will break their yoke from your neck and tear your shackles away. The Lord has given a command concerning you. Nineveh, you will have no descendants to bear your name. I will destroy the images and the idols that are in the temples of your God. I will prepare your grave for you or vow. Look there on the mountain of one who brings good news, who proclaims peace. Celebrate your festivals, Judah, and fulfill your vows. No more will the wicked invade you. They will be completely destroyed. Amen. Amen. I want to say to you on tonight, you should be concerned, but not controlled. And the Lord was reminding us with Nahum is that he's still God. And no matter what's going on in the earth, no matter what's going on politically, no matter what's going on economically, no matter what's going on socially, because you are a kingdom citizen, then you are not to be worried. You are not to be anxious. You are not to be consumed with what's going on. And he wants us to know that. He wants us to know that he's in control of everything. He is in control of everything. And when we begin to give our focus and when we begin to give our attention towards things that really shouldn't concern us, you know, it's one thing for the Lord says in Psalms 138, the Lord will perfect that which concerneth me. And what he meant by that is things that concerneth me, things that concerneth you. And really, sometimes we take on things that don't really concern us. We take on things that, now, I heard in the spirit as I began to say that, I heard somebody say, well, what you mean? You know, if we keep this, if we have this party, you know, on the in the White House, or if we have this police doing this, or if this person is doing that, that could happen to me, or that happened to my family member. So it does concern me. And I'm not saying that, but what I'm saying is, are we taking the things that really don't concern us to heart? Are we allowing things to control us? If we are believers, what the Lord is telling us to do is to trust Him, to bring it a petition to Him. We bring the petition in prayer. We should be praying for every situation. We should be praying for every circumstance. If we don't like what we have in the political offices, then guess what? We should be praying. And I'm not saying don't go out and vote. You have the right to go out and vote, but what I'm saying is, are you praying? Are you praying before you make a decision to vote? Because that's going to be important. You are a kingdom citizen, and you're housed here in the world, but you are a kingdom citizen. So you should be seeking God in order to get the answers and the clarity of what you should be doing. You can't vote. You can't go and vote at the polls because you're a black woman or a black man. You cannot go and vote at the polls because you're rich or you are poor. I mean, you can't go and vote at the polls based on emotion. And many times we go and vote at the polls based on emotions. We haven't even seeked God. We're saying, oh, I'm voting this, I'm going to vote that, or I'm not going to vote this, and I'm not going to vote this. But really, what has God said about it? What is he saying about it? Because oftentimes what happens is we will remove our Christian banner to become whatever these economic things are, the social things are. We, you know, it would be easy, but it wouldn't be right for me to remove my banner as a Christian, as a believer, if that's what I'm saying I am, because now I got to deal with being a woman. And as we see, there's a lot of different issues going on. We have the Me Too going on, and we have, you know, we have some other things that's going on for us as black. We have other things going on for people who are in a certain economic category. So we got all these different things that's going on, and it would be easy for us to begin to make decisions based on those emotions, based on those things that's going on. But God is saying to us as believers, as kingdom citizens, that He is in control. And if you want to know what God would have you to do, you have to ask Him. You have to take it to Him in prayer. Because, see, I never, you know, I hear people say voting changed things. Well, yes, voting probably does change things. Voting counts. Voting is, but also prayer changes things. And we should be praying. We should be praying for certain things to change. And if things are not changing, why? Because the Word of God says that prayer changes things. So if it's not changing, then why is it not changing? We have to ask ourselves that as believers. What are we as believers not doing? What are we not sacrificing? Why are we not being, obedient? Are we not praying enough? Are our prayers selfish? What are we praying? Are we not listening to what God is telling us? Are we being still long enough? You know, I seen somebody post, and this is social media, but I seen somebody post the other day, and it was a meme, and it said, you know, in the meme, I can't remember the exact words, but it said in essence that the first thing most people do in the morning is grab their cell phone. They'll grab their cell phone before they'll get on their knees and pray. I don't know about some of y'all, but I've been guilty of that. I've definitely been guilty. You know, my cell phone is my alarm clock. My cell phone is my, you know, it keeps my schedule. It's my calendar. I mean, everything with my cell phone is here. And I just was having a conversation early this evening where my mentor lost his cell phone. And he didn't even realize how not having his cell phone was so critical, how much we depend on our cell phone. And so, yes, this modern technology is here to help us. It's critical to us. But at the same time, has it taken the place? Is that the first thing we grab when we get up in the morning? Do we not take the time, allot the time to God to say thank you, Lord? We thank you for waking me up. You know, thank you for the blessings. Thank you for what you have in store for me. Thank you for keeping my family. You know, are we not doing that? Are we not acknowledging him? If we're not coming to him, if we're not praying, if we're not reading what his word is saying about a certain situation, see, we can't be both. We can't be both. And this is not to condemn anyone. Tonight's message is not to condemn anyone. It's to encourage you that the Lord our God is alive. He's not dormant. He's not asleep. He is alive, and he sees what's going on. He knows what is going on. He's waiting for us to come. He's waiting for us to petition. He's waiting for us to pray. He's waiting for us to lift these concerns, these cares. And he also spoke to the point of he sees us as believers. He sees kingdom citizens. And this may not be everybody, but this was his word, is that he sees us operating like seeds sown among thorns, allowing the cares of this world to choke us out, to choke the life out of us, to choke the joy out of us, to choke the peace out of us, the truth out of us, and the trust out of us. We don't trust him. We don't trust one another. But more importantly, we don't trust him. The cares of this world has choked the truth out of us. We hear so many different opinions. We see so many different beliefs that is not teaching sound doctrine. But those doctrines are changing people's hearts. Those doctrines are choking out the truth, the word of God, the truth out of people. And people are getting confused, and it's chaotic. And the word of God said he's not a God of confusion. So, but we're getting, you know, people are getting confused about what they're seeing, about what is being said. And he's saying he don't want us to be like that seed that's sown among thorns. He don't want all the cares of this world, to take us and begin to strip us of our birthright, to strip us of our peace and our joy. Some of us are praying in fear. We're not even praying by faith. We're praying by fear because of everything that we see around us, all that we see that's going on. We're in fear that some of us are in fear that when we retire, we won't even have retirement. Social Security may be gone by the time some people retire. Some of us are in fear because we don't know if we are make enough money to pay our bills. Some of us are in fear because we don't know, we can't trust the Republicans or the Democrats. Choose one. So there's a lot of fear that's going on. It's a lot of control of fear, and the best way for us to be controlled, the best way the enemy can control us is through fear. And we're over concerned about matters, and it's okay to be concerned. And I want to tell you the difference, because I always give a definition of the difference. The difference is concern. Definition, Webster's. This is Webster's, and it gives two definitions of concern. And there's a good one definition, and as I see it, there's a not-so-good definition. The first definition we know is anxious, worry, concern. And the Bible tells us constantly we're not supposed to be worried. We're not supposed to be worried about nothing, anxious about nothing, but through prayer and supplication, correct? And then the other definition for concerned is a matter of interest or importance to someone. Guess what? Things that are going on around us should be a matter of interest to us, and it should be important to us. We want to know. It's important that we want to know that our kids, when they go to school, that they don't have to worry about being bullied. That's important to us. We want to know that that they're getting a good education, that there's programs in place that help them learn, that would give them a great education, that will prepare them for college. That's an interest. That's important to us. There's other things. We want to know that the tax rates are reasonable. That's important to us because we, as long as we work, as long as we're living, we're going to have to pay taxes. There's a lot of stuff. There's a lot of things that's important to us, a lot of things that we should take an interest in. And that's a concern. That's a basic level of concern. And God is saying, that's okay. That kind of concern, something that interests you, something that's important to you, there, that's not an issue. That's not an issue at all. But when it becomes anxiety, when it becomes worry, when it becomes fretfulness, when it becomes fear, that's a problem. Because now it's taking control. And it's and now that thing, whatever that thing that's taking control of you, it has the power, because control is the power to influence or direct your behavior. Ooh! Control, the power to influence or direct people's behavior. So now we see behavior. Think about the stock market when they crashed. And I don't know what year, but years ago the stock, and people were jumping out the window because that controlled them and it influenced their behavior. They were so consumed with money. They were so consumed with that thing that when it failed them, they were jumping out the windows. They were ready to die. We see and we hear on the news about people that committed fraud, embezzlement or fraud, the love of money. And they do these things. And then the next thing we know, they commit suicide or they do something crazy because that thing controlled them. We hear about it. We hear about relationships gone bad. Broken relationships. One of the people don't want to be together no more, and the other person becomes controlled with the thought of this other person not wanting them. And if they're not careful, those emotions will take control over, overtake them, and it will dictate their behavior, and the behavior could be violent. So anything that we allow to control us. And I can even go back to say, because we said we're concerned about bullying. That's an interest to us. Even bullying, if you have young kids or you have teenagers, if you're listening tonight, even being bullied, don't let that control you. Because if you allow it to control you, it's going to influence your behavior. Well, what do you mean, Coach D? How do I help that? You help that because you go and you tell the appropriate people. You go and you don't sit back in fear. You don't sit back in fear. If you're being bullied, you need to go talk to your parents. If you can't trust your parents, go talk to somebody, an adult that you trust. Let them know what's going on so that you could eliminate that situation. So that you could eliminate that situation. And then that way it's not controlling you. Because the fear of having to go into a situation every day where you're afraid for your, you're afraid for your life, or you're afraid that you're going to be harmed, that controls you. And again, we should be praying. We should be praying over these situations. We should be lifting these concerns up before God, because God sees it all and He knows it all, and He's already in control of it. And just because we don't see what He's doing, just because we may not understand what He's doing, doesn't mean that He's not in control. And how do we know? How do we know the characteristics of God? How do we know we could trust this God that we say we believe in, that we've given our life to? How do we know? We know it through the Word, through getting into His Word. This is how we know. That's how I knew. Wow. God, He's telling us He hasn't forgotten us. He hasn't left us. We're His people. And He's letting us know, I'm not asleep. That's what He was letting Judea know. He's not asleep. So what? I see Nineveh. But they just come. I got this under control. They just come to a halt. I'm supposed to stop them in their path. I'm getting ready to control this thing. I just want you to know I got it under control. And just because we don't see it, just because right now things don't look good, just because right now we don't understand president-elect, just because right now we don't understand some of the political offices and the decisions and choices that they're making, just because we don't see it don't mean that God is not working it. He's working it. Just because you may not see where that next job is going to come from or how you're going to pay that next bill does not mean that God is not working it if you belong to him. If you belong to him, he is working it on your behalf. His word says he's working all things together for our good, for the good of those who are called according to his purpose. So if you know that you love God and you're called according to his purpose, then you got to know that he's working all things together for your good. That is already finished. That was another interesting thing that the Lord reminded me of, is that everything is already done. I finished on the sixth day. So it's already done. And everything that we see that's manifesting, everything that's going on, this is just part of the process of what's going on. Part of the process. And I know there's a lot of pain going on. I mean, it's not just right now, but there's a lot of people that's in pain. My heart is heavy for people that's very close to me that's going through pain right now, that's suffering right now, with sickness and disease and just different things that's going on. And it's not saying that the stuff don't exist. It does. It's there. It's obvious that it's there, that the pain is there, the suffering is there. And God is telling us, he tells us if we're suffering and we're in pain, we're to come to him, casting our care on him because he cares for us. And I know that's easier said than when you're going through it. It's easier said when you're not going through it. And when you're outside looking in, it's easier to tell somebody else that. But it's the truth. And guess what? I don't know a person, and that's a believer that has not found in the midst of their storm that when the storm was completed that they were able to say, yes, I didn't see it then, but God was with me the whole way. God blessed me the whole way. God made a way out of no way. I hear testimonies every day about God making a way out of no way. I hear from other people, but it's even in my own life, that God is making a way out of no way. All power is in his hand, and he can make a way out of no way. So when we know that we're serving a God that can make a way out of no way, then we got to know that nothing that we could come across, nothing that could come up against us, it can stand, because our God is making a way out of what appears to be no way. What are the Ninevehs in your life? What are those? So many. But what are those things that got you so concerned that is controlling your thoughts? Some of us got children that's just wayward, that's just doing their own thing, that keeps us concerned. Is it controlling our thoughts, or have we just given them over to the Lord? Some of us got businesses that's controlling our thoughts, or are we giving it over to the Lord? Some of us, is that consuming us? Is it controlling our thoughts, or have we given it over to the Lord? And I could go on and on. Bad relationships. Marriages are failing. Health is failing. Is that our controlling our thoughts? Is that our consuming thoughts? So much so that we haven't given it to the Lord. again, what is that thing that's got you bottled up? What is that thing that's got you all consumed that you have not given over to the Lord that you want to hold on to? And that could be anything, personal, political. Again, I'm saying social and economical. I'm saying this because I know that we have an election coming up. And I know that people are concerned about the affairs of the world. I know that people are concerned of what's next. What will we have to deal with? We've seen some things that's been just traumatizing for a lot of people. We've seen some things that haven't been normal. We've seen things that's been irregular. And it's really got people concerned of, oh my gosh, I can't believe these things are happening. What's next? So I'm telling you on tonight, what's next is you're going to trust in God. What's next is you're going to go before God in prayer, and you're going to ask God to direct you and lead you and guide you on November, come November the 4th. Is it the 4th? You're going to ask him to guide you at the polls. You're going to ask him, what should you do? What would he have you to do? What lines up to his will? Because, see, what lines up to God's will may not sound practical in the natural. It may not seem logical what he tells you to do, but you got to trust. You got to trust that what he's telling you to do, you got to trust God. And it may not be logical. He may have you vote on something that just seems so offbeat, and you don't understand why he's having you go in that direction. And I would say to you to trust him, to trust his direction and trust the path that he's going to lead you on. And even when it don't look good, you got to trust God and trust the process. And I'm not going to just continue on with this, but what I am going to say on tonight is that I believe that Nahum was a book that God sent me to on this morning. I believe that he wanted his people to know that he is still God. I believe that he wanted us to know that he sees us being so concerned with the cares of the world, and he wants to just let us know that we're not supposed to be that concerned. Because when we're that concerned and we get that involved, it chokes out the word of God. We can't even stand on the word of God. And I know it's true because I'm seeing believers. I'm seeing believers that's so consumed with what's going on in the world that they're not even standing on the word of God. Matter of fact, they're doing things that's contrary to the word of God. And God is saying it. He said it. You know, he sees us as the seeds sown among thorns, and we're not supposed to be seeds sown among thorns. We're supposed to be seeds that's been planted on good ground, that the winds could blow, the storms could come, the cares could come, and yet we're still standing firm on his word, that we know how to speak the word of our lives and situations in and out of season. If you're having health issues, there's a word for that. God has a word for that we could speak over our life. If we're having financial issues, there's something in the word that we could speak over our life. If we're having marriage issues, relationship issues, there's something in the word that could speak over our lives. Amen? Well, I'm not going to keep you all long on tonight. I pray that the word that went forth was a word to encourage you, that God is in control. Just trust the process. Trust God in the process. And know that he is working all things together for your good because you love him and that you're called according to his purpose. Again, I want to thank you for tuning in on tonight's show. It's always a blessing to have you tune in. Feel free to tune in with us. Next Wednesday will be our last Wednesday with Domestic Violence Awareness on Women to Women on Wednesday nights at 7 p.m. And then again on Thursdays, Processing the Pain, it's going to be for November, which is next Thursday, November the 1st. I'm going to be starting another series. I'm going to do a series. I will let you know. If you want to know what that series is, tune in on next Thursday. We're going to get into some really good stuff, some good stuff. Again, that would be next Thursday, November the 1st, and we're going to be doing a whole series on processing the pain. Again, thank you for tuning in to this episode of Processing the Pain. Know that you are loved and appreciated.
Many.